This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We would love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here at the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. Come on down and have lunch with us. Come and watch the show. And we'd also love for you to like us on Facebook. You can go to Facebook and you can punch in Food for Thought with Carol. Welcome back. Wow. Yes. You know, my nose is still kind of running.
Yeah, your eyes so kind of good. He was just enjoying watching you taste the products because, yes, your eyes got a little wider. But and it's funny because many times people will do that and have that reaction and your nose begins to run and then they're done. You went back for more. I mean, that was encouragement to you, right? I mean, you're just like, bring it.
I love that.
You do?
I do. And Daryl does too. Stuff. We both love hot stuff. So, you know, I love now when I cook. I can cook with garlic. I can cook with hot stuff. We both just, you know, love hot stuff. So, you know, even when I make soup, I make it hot.
Well, see, and we've been talking about soup, and I'm trying to get over my soup is not really a meal thing. And I'm trying to really look at things differently. And I stumbled across a recipe for jambalaya.
That's not soup.
Why is that not soup?
That is not soup.
It's a liquid. Okay, define soup. How is it not soup?
Jambalaya?
Soup. Yes. Doesn't it have?
Maybe it is.
Anything that has chicken stock, 6 cups of chicken stock, has to be soup.
Cups. You are so funny.
I mean, unless that's making a pot for, you know,
maybe it is. All right.
Okay.
I'll let
jambalaya. Yeah.
Are you going to make it?
No. Well, but I thought about it. But okay, you gave me a project yesterday, an assignment, I believe.
I did. It was kind of a. A crash course.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of a crash course.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bob is telling me that gumbo is a soup.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Well, gumbo. Okay. But
I
so that's
so.
The same thing as jambalaya?
Oh, gumbo. Oh, yeah. Is gumbo jambalaya? Oh,
see, now we've got another debate going on.
I'm sorry. Yes. Wait, I didn't read the sentence before.
Okay.
Jambalaya is not a soup.
Oh, good night.
It's more of a stew. And that's exactly what I thought. So, yes, gumbo would be a soup.
Okay.
Gumbo is a soup.
But I don't understand what's the difference then between a stew and a soup? And maybe that is the things that I find worthwhile to make would fall into the stew range, correct? So because I like a beef stew, chili. Chili's probably not a soup because
it's not
brothy enough.
No.
But my goodness, this jambalaya recipe does have 6 cups of chicken stock. Cups. It also has a bunch of shrimp, and this is fascinating to me. 2 different kinds of sausage, smoked ham, and shrimp. What a great blend of flavors that would be, though. I've never tried jambalaya, but then I was thinking as we're tasting these sauces, the Manno Fuel sauce, some of those would be a great addition to jambalaya.
Definitely.
And I'm assuming jambalaya must have rice in it somewhere, correct?
I would think so.
Yep, converted rice.
Oh.
I don't know what it needs to be converted to or from, but
we have we have Debbie from Ware.
Oh, good.
And she's also from Kansas. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
How are you? So you're originally from Ware and now you're calling from Kansas?
No. I'm originally from Kansas. I was born and raised in Kansas.
Wow.
And I'm a renegade. I am now living up here, but 99.9% of my family still lives in Kansas.
Okay.
I'm thinking, you said earlier the lady, Linda, had laryngitis, and she's calling from Kansas, and is she the one that used to live in the East and then moved out to Kansas?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, I'm from Kansas, and I moved to the East, and I have a recipe that my great-grandmother gave to my grandmother, which gave to my mother, and it stayed in the family. And it's a preacher's chocolate cake, and I didn't know whether I could kind of fill in a Kansas recipe or not.
I think that's wonderful.
Perfect.
I'm so glad you called. Definitely go for it.
Okay.
A Preacher's chocolate cake.
Yeah, Preacher's chocolate cake. You use 1 cup of brown sugar packed, 1 cup of white sugar, 1/2 cup of shortening, 2 eggs, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1/2 cup of sour milk.
Sour?
Yes, and if you don't have sour milk on hand, you add 2 tablespoons of vinegar to your cup of milk, and it makes sour milk.
You're kidding.
No,
ma'am. I never knew that. So 1/2 cup of sour
milk? That's to make sour milk.
So take 1/2 cup of regular milk and add 2 tablespoons of vinegar to it?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And that makes your sour milk if you don't have sour milk. But my grandparents, they had a farm, a dairy farm. And so, you know, with doing dairy cows, they had milk on hand quite a bit, and some of it would go sour, and so Grandma would make this cake. Then you have 2 cups of flour, 2 teaspoons of baking soda, 1/2 cup of cocoa, 1/2 teaspoon of salt. I don't ever use the salt in it, but you can put 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1 cup of boiling water.
Okay, I'm writing all this down, and I'm right with you. Keep going.
Okay, you cream your sugar, shortening thoroughly. Sugar and shortening, you cream them thoroughly. You add your beaten eggs. You sift your dry ingredients together.
Yeah.
And add by sifting again alternately with the sour milk. So you put in some of your sifted flour mixture, then you put in your milk. You beat well after each addition. Don't put it all in at once. Oh, you know, a little bit of flour, a little bit of milk, a little bit of flour, a little bit of milk. Okay. Fold in your boiling water and add your vanilla. You place that in a greased and floured pan. I do a 13x9, or you can do 3 round pans. Bake in the oven at 350 for 30 to 35 minutes.
Wow.
And it is a very moist, moist cake. And the reason is they called it Preacher's because the preacher always asked for it, and they would take it to different meetings. The icing that they put on it, you have 1 whole egg, 2 cups of powdered sugar, 3 tablespoons of shortening, 3 tablespoons of butter, 3 tablespoons of cocoa, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla. Put all this in a bowl and beat until fluffy and frost your cake.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
My grandmother came from a little town called Overbrook. My mother was born there, but it's Overbrook, and there's approximately 250 people that live there.
Wow. So then they got to know what to ask for cake-wise in your town.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
So this is a cake, and it just my kids would always ask for it for their birthdays, and we'd always ask for it for our birthdays. So, you know, and it's like I said, it was something that my great-grandmother and my grandmother, and then they give it to mother, and then mom gave me the recipe when I got married and left Kansas and haven't been back.
Wow. So this is a good family recipe. It's kind of an heirloom.
Yeah. Down in the generations. Wow.
Yeah, it's passed down a lot. And everybody enjoys it when I make it. Everybody seems to enjoy it. Like I said, it makes a very moist cake.
Well, and I'm very anxious to try it.
Yeah, and so the vinegar and milk, that makes the sour milk if you don't have sour milk on hand.
Yep. I don't think I do.
I don't think anybody ever does. I know that we did down in Kansas because, like I said, my uncle had cattle for dairy cows, and we were always having milk, and they would bring a big old bowl of it up, and Grandma and Mom and I would scoop the cream off the top of it and set the cream aside, and then we'd use it. Well, if you got 3 or 4 gallons of milk and you don't have that many people, you know, you drink milk and you put milk in everything, and sooner or later you're got sour milk because you've got no place to put all this milk unless you're selling it to the dairies, which he did that, and milking twice a day. So you eventually had sour milk now and then.
That is interesting because I was thinking about is sour milk really just milk that's kind of beginning to go bad?
Yeah, well, it is. It's milk that is, and, you know, sometimes you can smell it, but a lot of times even it makes it, when you put the vinegar in your milk, now you're going to find out it makes it lumpy, and sour milk is lumpy like cottage cheese.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've
so when you
some
put your vinegar
knowing...
in your milk, don't go, because it lumps up, because that's what sour milk does. That's what sour milk does. We used to take and feed it to the cats or the pigs or whatever after we made cakes with it. So it was always, you know, sour milk was, and I learned after moving, you know, my mother got married and moved to Kansas City from Overbrook, and she lived in Kansas, we lived, and I was born and raised in Kansas City, Kansas, and Mom says, well, we don't have sour milk here very often with all you kids. She said, I don't have enough milk to even go around. And so she discovered putting vinegar in it made it sour.
Okay.
Wow. Nice.
Very interesting. See, we learn something new
absolutely.
Every day.
And we, you know, from a different state. We're traveling across the country again.
Exactly. It's great.
Yes. Well, I, when you guys said that Linda wasn't going to be able to make it today because of laryngitis, and I went, I'm from Kansas. I can give you a recipe.
That's perfect. So today it was What's Cooking in Kansas with Debbie.
There you go. I can't wait to tell Linda.
Thanks for filling in. We
Linda will be
it.
All excited. So thank you, Debbie, for giving us a call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Oh, that is fantastic. And I got a little educated on sour milk. Yeah. Because I've seen that in a few recipes before, and I thought it must be something special. I knew you could add vinegar to it, but I really didn't think it was probably the same thing.
I know. I didn't either.
I thought it was like a buttermilk or, you know, like buttermilk is a specific milk product that you do something with, that you cook with.
Right.
I didn't think that sour milk was really just... But like you said, from it's being on the farm, milk. It's not pasteurized. But and then, I mean, I don't think the same thing would happen to the gallons. I mean, I've got three boys at home, so we don't have any milk that goes bad anymore. that's my daily jaunt to the store is to get milk.
If I would see that in a recipe, mm-hmm. I would probably go to the grocery store and ask
Excuse
for
me. Where's your sour milk? Yes. And now we know. We have been schooled.
Isn't that funny?
Yes. We've been educated on sour milk. We've got a debate going on.
I know.
I can't let go of my jambalaya thing.
No, jambalaya is definitely not a soup. You need to do the recipe that June and I gave you yesterday.
Which is so disturbing because you told me when I asked you what some of the basics were about how am I supposed to concoct this soup, the thing that stuck with me is
the chicken in the bones.
Yes, the chicken parts. I'm not going to walk into a grocery store and say, excuse me, can I have some chicken parts?
Like, Jeannie, you get
this,
it.
This
in
package
the
of...
chicken section.
The chicken section. No, there are thighs or breasts. There are... if I see something with a beak chicken. And a leg sticking out...
It's chicken I'll know pieces. That those are... It's the legs and the thigh. Oh, my God. Gosh.
And they sell them all together. It's just
yes, they
odd.
Do. It's like
for people to make soup. That has to be the only purpose. Then that's why they package them that way to make soup.
No,
why else would anyone just buy a package of chicken parts?
When you go to the grocery store, you're gonna see it, and you're gonna say, "Oh, okay, I know what she's talking about." I'm telling you, you've seen it all the time. It's there all the time, and it's not just for soup. People that maybe make, like, I think that Daryl got that for his coq au vin the other night.
Why wouldn't he just? You had me at Coco.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I think we need to go on break. Now we need to collect ourselves.
Okay.
We're having way too much fun.
Yes.
Okay, you're listening to Food for Thought. And when we come back, we are going to be joined with Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. I missed the music.
Yeah. Oh, see, there it is.
There we go.
We have such a responsive, supportive person at the station. Thank you.
Oh. See, we were having way too much fun. And then I just have to go running up to my office. But welcome back to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. And joining us now is Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire, where they grant wishes to children with special medical needs. And for many of the children, the wish marks a turning point in the fight against their illness. That is why wishes matter. That is why they grant wishes. I think that is just so powerful. I was like, I went to your website and I started reading, you know, a few things and printing off some stuff. And, you think of the kids getting a wish and But it's like just so much more. It's so much more than that, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we like to think that, you know, a wish really helps that child. You know, it gives them that strength for that really grown-up battle.
Exactly.
It gives them hope for the future and sheer joy. Mm-hmm. I love that one, absolute sheer joy. So, you know, it can be many different things and all of those things for every child facing a life-threatening medical condition.
And it must parallel with, you know, with the doctors and, you know, I mean, it must help, you know, help them. I mean, you know, it gives them a boost and just, you know.
Absolutely. And we have really intuitively known that for years and years and years. And recently, through our national office and in kind of partnership with all my peers around the country, we did a wish impact study. And what we found was that healthcare professionals and parents were telling us that it was a real turning point for a child during their treatment, and that, in fact, it was a life-changing experience for them, and it really had an impact on the child's physical health.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to really have that data behind to know that, you know, we're in partner with the medical community to really give these kids something that, you know, will impact them today and for the long haul as they're going through this really dark time for them.
If you think about it as well, I'm sure that these kids have spent much more time in doctor's offices and kind of taking out of the what we think of as the standard childhood experience. There's a lot of playtime that's missed. There's a lot of carefree, joyous time that's missed. And so then to have that time where you can immerse yourself finally into this is just fun and this is just joy and glorious beyond all the time that's spent doing things that typically we don't picture for our kids. Are there things that the kids have really expressed at that point that contrast between all the times that they've missed out on things?
Yeah, and I think that's why we focus so much on getting to that child's heartfelt wish that I was talking a little bit last time, because we actually had a child, and it was one of the most touching wishes that I've seen, a little boy last summer, or it was toward the end of the summer, when he was referred to us, and his wish was that he wanted his summer back.
Mm-hmm.
So, and those kind of wishes, that we get those all the time. You know, they want to be as far away from their treatment as they can be, you know, and so they pick a destination that's far away, or, you know, they want their summer back, and you're trying to put together all the different pieces of things they usually do in a really neat way. Or, you know, they used to be able, before they were ill, they used to be able to go to the park and go on the slide, and now they can't. So they want one in their backyard. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that make a wish really, really individual, is because that child is kind of searching for something that's being taken away.
Sure.
And a wish is really something that they can anticipate and plan for. And so that's really neat as well. So, you know, they're going through treatment and the wish granters come and they visit them and they can have anything. You know, they pick something that, you know, I'm going to have and I can look forward to and I can plan and I can think about during my treatment. And then the great thing for the parents and the family, you know, is that all of the planning is done. We're just looking for the child to give us, you know, what's in their mind's eye, what's in their imagination. But, you know, we get to kind of swoop in and not have the parents worry about anything. So, for instance, if it happens to be a trip, we would plan everything from transportation to, you know, where they're going to stay, all the activities that they're going to do, so that literally, you know, all the parents need to do is, you know, put some things in the car that's coming to pick them up, and they're whisked away, and they don't have to worry about anything else.
You know, I was reading some general wish facts, which I just find fascinating. Make-A-Wish grants a wish on average every 38 minutes.
Wow.
And on average, a child is referred for a wish every 28 minutes. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. Yeah. Is it, just even stopping on that part as far as the referral, is that a good rate as far as your thinking, Julie, or is it really still a need to get kids referred to you? And are there things that kind of are obstacles to having referrals come in?
I am so glad you asked that question because, you know, that is a wonderful national number, but really we're really only reaching a little over half of the children right now nationally. In New Hampshire, we're doing a little bit better, but we still need those referrals coming in. You know, and so that's why we're out in the community sharing our mission so that the kids and the healthcare professionals know where to find us and they know how to refer a child. So a doc, any healthcare professional, a parent could even call us and refer a child. You know, so on average here in New Hampshire, we're granting a wish every 4.5 days. But in order to reach every child in New Hampshire, that would have to be ramped up to grant a wish every 2.5 days, which is pretty incredible. You know, so we're on a mission to do that. But we really still need the community's help to get the word out there and to, you know, so if you happen to know a child that's facing a life-threatening medical condition, you know, if you could just have the parents give us a call, you know, and once they're referred in, then we can reach out to the doc, make sure they have a life-threatening medical condition and they qualify, you know, or have them have their doc call us and have that child referred in. We, up in the office, we were celebrating earlier this morning because we got 6 more referrals in, you know, during the week last week. And, you know, I mean, I know it sounds like an awful thing to be excited about, but, you know, we know that kids are going to get diagnosed. So we just want to do everything that we can to find them.
Right.
So that we're able to do this wonderful thing for them and really give them, you know, the hope for the future, that strength and sheer joy. So, you know, it's really all about, you know, spreading the word and making sure that, you know, people know where to find us.
And it might, I mean, you know, working up in your office, it must be, you know, it must be a fun place to work. I mean, you know, when you're getting, you know, especially when the wish granters come back and they're like, okay, you know, this is what she wants to do and let's get all our heads together. I mean, is it like that? Or do you all get into it? I mean,
it so is. And so we've had a wish we've been working on for a little while now.
I'm all excited
about it. So a young boy came to us. He's 13, and he saw the show Tanked. And so he wanted Frankie to design a fish tank for him. And in his imagination, he saw a pirate ship with all the detail and the broken masts and, you know, like all this detail of this amazing pirate ship in his tank. And so we this morning had a phone call with Frankie and all the people that helped them make their tank and you know, figured out what we could do for this young man to build him this special one-of-a-kind fish tank for his wish. So he wants a saltwater fish tank. And, you know, so we were working on all the plans this morning. And we all get into it. We had the little flip chart up and talking about all the different things that he wanted with his wish granters and, you know, trying to help describe it so that the guys on the show and the builders on the show could get their arms around it, you know, and try to figure out from this young man's imagination to his new fish tank. So
that is like so.
it was so much fun.
It must be.
Yeah.
It really, really must be. I mean, I can't really imagine that. I mean, when this all had come and grab me, I want to be in there.
It is. That part of it seems like it would be so contagious and so much fun. And I'm wondering about, I mean, that would be a neat office dynamic. What does that do for you just in life in general? I mean, working with things like this has to change you, I would think, somehow. And I'm thinking, does it make you, I mean, even if it's just looking at the wish, does it make you more creative? I mean, I was watching shows once and I decided to transform my kid's bedroom into a jungle and I had all these things built and I had monkeys hanging, not real monkeys. I had enough of those at home. But, you know, so does it translate into
helping you to appreciate things differently, or is it something that's kind of difficult to carry home with you at times?
Well, I think we kind of focus in on being able to do something positive mm-hmm. and bringing joy. I'd be lying if I told you that there weren't a lot of highs and lows, but, right. you know, being part of being able to kind of come together and do something so magical. I mean, we talk to a lot of our wish granters and they say that, you know, what they get out of working with the kids is so much more than they give the kids. And that's kind of the perspective. But you learn to kind of focus in on the positive stuff. And, you know, we don't complain about the little things in life. I think it's really helped us be
yes.
extraordinary positive, you know, okay. and we see these children as so amazingly courageous and positive, and they've taught us so much. I mean, I actually don't have any on today, but I got close because I've got, you guys can't see it, but it's kind of a pink shirt. But my very first wish child that I met, her name was Morgan, and her wish was to be a dolphin trainer. And I remember going out and visiting her and her telling me one time, kind of in confidence, when the two of us were just sitting there chatting, that whenever she felt down and she felt sick, she would wear purple because purple made her happy. And so on those days that I get up and I'm feeling a little bit blue, you know, I always wear purple. So you can see me with a lot of purple on. But, you know, that's how they change your lives. You know, yep. they're amazingly courageous, and their courage somehow seems to rub off and stay with you. And
wow.
their positive attitudes.
For yeah. sure, for sure. We need to go on a short break. You are listening to Food for Thought, and we are in studio with Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. And we'll be talking to her a little bit more. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Back. Food for Thought with Carol, and joining me is Jeannie Lester. And we were just talking with Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. And she is going to be back with us next week. And yeah.
And we are looking forward to that. And,
I know.
She is. She's got so much energy and so much positivity, and it's neat to talk about some of that. I love when she describes some of the wishes that are granted for the kids and some of the wishes that the kids have. And to demonstrate how multifaceted of an individual Julie is as
it's,
well.
It's amazing.
We drew her into the soup discussion as
yes
well.
We did and draw she, her into the soup discussion.
She has made soup with turkey carcasses
and listeners, listen to me, okay? Well, you know, and you know what I find so funny is
yeah.
this is a food show.
Yeah,
I mean, really?
Yes, yes.
And Julie looked at you with the same exasperation that I did
yes.
when you said you had never made soup before, and
right.
she's like, what? And she knew exactly what chicken parts were. She knew what it was. And I still cannot believe
yeah.
that you don't know what chicken parts are.
Yeah. Well, I assume they're parts of chicken. But I just, it fascinates me that you could go to a store and just buy a package of chicken parts. But she, I mean, her way sounded maybe like even more where, I mean, you take a turkey, and I've heard of people doing this like at Thanksgiving, and then you take the turkey carcass, you dump it in a big pot. And then do what? You've got to add some liquid to it. You boil the turkey.
Usually you
down.
Add water, and yeah. then you boil it, and it makes turkey broth.
But then you have to pick all the bones out.
Yes, you do.
Okay. Or you
do.
I guess, pour it through a strainer.
Yes, you do.
Would be much easier.
Mm-hmm.
much
oh,
easier.
My
But that's
gosh.
Just the making of the broth. Then you've got to worry about cooking whatever vegetables you have, too.
Well, you add that into the broth after.
Oh, and they
you
cook
just
in
add
the broth.
That into the broth, and then it oh. cooks. And don't do it at a boil, like June said, a nice slow,
yeah.
you know, slow boil.
Yeah.
When you take all the chicken parts out, because they're cooked, but you have to cool them before you can take it apart.
Yes. And I think the thing I would like is to hear you and June talk. You can just add pretty much whatever you'd like
you
that
can.
You see hanging around into your soup. So I could throw mushrooms in.
Definitely. Here,
so all
Anything.
Kinds of things, mm-hmm. just whatever's in there, throw a little bit in.
That's right.
And you've got
Anything.
A,
And usually I will, like I said yesterday, I'll usually saute. I'll saute the onions and you know, celery, garlic, you know, before.
Very nice. That sounds fantastic. But still, the jambalaya, being able to put some sausage in and some chicken, that kind of stuff.
Jambalaya is not a soup.
Okay.
You're not making jambalaya.
No, I'm not going to make jambalaya. I will do something with these chicken parts that you talk about.
You're going to go to the grocery store, and you are going to go and buy chicken parts.
Yes. And if I can't find them, I'll ask the closest person to me and see what the chicken parts are, where they're stored and what they're doing.
They are right in the chicken section. They're right in the, you go where the chicken is and it's right there.
Where the chicken is. You know what's easier for me to make?
Boneless breast of chicken. You know what that is, right?
Well, yeah. So you buy it in a package of
that's
chicken
breast. Like kind of up a little bit, you know, right? Is it kind of, you know what I mean?
Well, I guess it depends on where you buy it.
Right,
I
mean, it depends. And then the chicken parts are right below, right in the, right in the, right there.
Okay.
Chicken parts.
I believe you. I'll just look for the beaks and that will alert me.
Beaks. You're not going to see any beaks or feet or anything like that.
All right, so let's say it's something that you are following a recipe for. Mm-hmm. I know you don't with your soup. You just kind of start mixing stuff in. If it's something that you actually follow a recipe for, what is one of the things that is difficult about the recipe book? It's that you've got this paper book and things fall on it and you ruin all your pages.
That's true.
So one thing, although I can't make soup, what I did was I came up with this recipe book and you put it in these plastic sleeves. What are these plastic? The page protectors. And what I did, I took it one step further, made it a little gift to be able to give my family. I put pictures of our family on all the different recipes as well as notes. And so I've got, pictures of Christmas cookies being made with my kids at all different stages. I mean, Rachel's 19 now. I think she was 5 there.
That is so perfect.
So you put that together, you get some of your favorite recipes, arrange the actual photos in there, and then you give it as a gift. And people, you know, my parents loved it. Grandparents loved these kinds of things. And I made one for myself because it's now when I make the recipes, not only is it a good family recipe, but it's got pictures of my kids or pictures, you know, from different points in our family.
Do you know who would really like that? Is my sister-in-law, Lori.
Ah.
I know that she would absolutely love that. I have to tell her about that. Listeners, just to give you a better idea of what it is that we're looking at, it's like a photo album. It's a photo album with the sleeves, and you have recipes in there, and with the recipes, you've mixed pictures. And what a great idea.
And some of them, I even managed to get pictures of the kids cooking.
That
so
is awesome.
That it happens. Yeah.
See, I am bad because I cannot cook with my kids. I'm not good like that.
It does take a measure of patience. Like, I can't do it spontaneously. I have to know this is something I'm going to do. I'm going to take a deep breath, and we're going to get this done. And I know that I need to double the time that it's going to normally take me, not be in a hurry, and really just indulge them. And, you know, I'm so appreciative that my mom did that with me, because she really was. She was much more patient than I. And she would be, you know, just kind of show me how you measure things and where things go and help me put things together. It does take an effort, doesn't it, Carol?
It does. It definitely does. But, you know, remember when we were talking with Linda, Linda from Kansas, and, you know, like she said, you know, like when I have my grandson Dominic and, you know, or Rory, you know, like she said, even just let them throw the ingredients into the bowl.
Yeah.
I could probably handle that.
I liked her other suggestion that was one step back from that. She said, let them smell the cinnamon.
Yes.
Take a sniff. Now go sit down.
Now go back and play with your Legos.
Exactly.
Go watch TV.
Quietly. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, it's really just incorporating them into the kitchen and making sure that they can do those things.
Yes, yes. So did we talk about, we did talk about that yesterday, what you did for Valentine's Day, and we did talk already about that,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did some good food experimenting. We went out a little bit, and then my husband loves to cook, so we did. We just went to a market. We looked at all different foods that we don't typically buy. We were not in a hurry, and so it gave us an opportunity to kind of experiment with some things. And here's something that I tried that I did not think I'd like, and if somebody had told me what it was, I probably wouldn't have eaten it. And it was smoked cod spread. Ooh. Or smoked trout. I'm sorry, trout. smoked trout.
Spread?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Was it?
Yes. It was absolutely wonderful. On a little bit of cracker kind of thing. And oh, it was so good. Because there was a way for me to taste it ahead of time, I was like, we must have this. And it's something that I would have turned my nose up before that. Because I am not a fish. I can do tuna fish. I like fish if it's baked in a dish. I don't want cold
fish
spread of any sort. Does not sound good.
Was that a Fresh Market?
Yes, it was.
And
it was really fantastic.
It sounds like
a place. I'm glad we tried it.
Yeah. That would have that.
Yes.
And I know you went to Fresh Market this weekend.
Yes. So we were pretty adventurous that way. And then we were very happy to be snowed in so that we could sit and eat and enjoy and cook with our things that we bought.
Yeah.
So what are the...
Oh, you know what? Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, what are the things that are next on your food horizon to make, since we've pretty much covered the soup angle? I mean, is there anything like that that you... Okay, that is like the one thing that not only have I not mastered, I just don't see...
Mastered. She hasn't even made it yet.
Well, which makes it hard to master it, doesn't it? I just don't see you putting all the time and effort into that. And you're throwing things at me now because you're so upset about the soup issue. But is there anything along those lines that you, Carol, do not cook or that you just don't bother? What about bread? Are you a bread, bread?
Okay. I am not a baker.
Well, so how is that any different?
Not a baker.
Okay.
I like the thought of, you know, rolling dough or... You know, to me, you know what it is? It's not the act of it. It's not, it's the mess.
Yes.
I think of the flour all over the place. Like, you'd have to, like, clear your whole counter.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, the whole counter has to be cleared to do stuff like that.
And the whole kitchen has to be cleared. I mean, the whole day, your whole schedule.
The whole day has
to be cleared. Because if you're talking about anything that involves yeast, you're setting aside 5 hours to accomplish this project. And you've got to wait till it rises, and it has to be, I mean, there's more care involved in a loaf of bread than I put into an infant. I mean, you've got to have it in the right.
Do you bake bread? Have you baked bread?
I tried twice, and then I abandoned it because it was, okay, put it in a warm place. Okay, that place wasn't warm enough. Then you move it. Yes. You move it, then that's a little too warm. You got to let it rise for another hour and then punch it down and then let it rise and punch it down. I'll be punching something. I'm not a patient person. Patient people, there should be a whole different section of cooking for people who do not have patience.
True. This is true.
Which would include soup and bread. But yeah, no, the bread is too finicky.
Yeah, I baker. I forget it. Baking bread. I have a good friend that bakes, and he makes the most wonderful bread.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Makes all different flavors and kinds. Yeah. But you know, that's what he does. You know.
See, and that's why I was tempted. Never actually went out and bought it. But the bread maker. And that falls into those appliances. I mean, it really. How many of us could cover every inch of counter space if we wanted to with appliances that we bought that at one time were going to be fantastic and now make absolutely no sense.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. Useless gadgets.
Yeah, exactly.
Once again, useless gadgets. Do you know what today is that I just realized?
Tuesday?
It is Fat Tuesday.
It is Fat Tuesday. Oh, thank goodness. I thought that yesterday was Fat Tuesday. I was behaving as though yesterday was Fat Tuesday. So I was eating like yesterday was Fat Tuesday.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. I didn't know that I'd gotten the days confused. So, but how many of us actually know what Fat Tuesday is for? Well, you can't look at me like that. You looked it up and you know that today is Fat Tuesday.
Well, I do know that today is Fat Tuesday because Lou was in.
Okay.
And it's a big thing today at Nolens.
Yeah.
And it's Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know it has something to do with the day before Lent.
Right. I think it's the last day. Are you supposed to gorge yourself today?
Isn't that kind of what it is about?
So. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the premise of it.
Yes.
Right?
I think you're right.
You go out
Let's
and
assume
splurge.
That. Yeah. We can go with that. I'm doing nothing but eggs.
I think June and I are going out to dinner
Cadbury
tonight.
Eggs. Oh, there you
Cadbury
go.
Eggs.
That sounds like a good idea.
So the big guy was just in the house. I wonder what they wanted.
Food. They heard about the hot sauce. We have all kinds of people wandering in to enjoy some taste samples of the Menno Fuel sauces.
Which was really...
It really was. I know. I'm kind of hoping you're not going to be looking, and I'm going to take off of that Verde sauce.
You can have that one.
Oh, thank you.
You can have
You're going to have the kind that made you cry.
I do. I love that one.
Wow. Well, does Mark like hot, though?
Yes, he does.
No, you can take that because I already have that at home.
Okay.
I do. Actually, I have.
You have the
whole
set?
You can take all of those.
Wow.
Yes. See, Mark will be happy.
Come in. Yes,
I know.
He will. Yeah. You've got the whole rest of the week planned now.
Yes. Well, the recipe that he said for the chicken, that sounds really good.
Yes, that does
sound
very good.
1 cup of that to 2 cups of broth.
Okay.
When you make your soup, you can use that broth. I'm just kidding. Never mind. That's way too confusing.
It is. I was overwhelmed with just what you... Yeah. No, that's too much instruction. It's just like when somebody asks directions, if they give me more than 2 steps, I'm only remembering the first 2, and I'm going to stop somewhere else. Don't be telling me that, you know, in 2 miles, you're going to take a right, look for a yellow blinking light. Then you kind of go straight through that. No, you've given me too much information. I'm only going to remember the first part. And then I'll pull over and ask someone else.
You're too funny. Oh, dear, dear, dear.
Well, you know, let's take this opportunity to thank our sponsors. We certainly appreciate their support in bringing you Food for Thought. And that would be Express Jewelry Center at 44 North Main Street in Concord, featuring elegant and affordable jewelry, as well as precision repair. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions at integrityfit.com, your coaching solutions company. Red Arrow Diner in Manchester and Milford, as well as Londonderry coming soon. Belmont Hall at 718 Grove Street in Manchester. Top quality foods made fresh. New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought. And Celeste Oliva at 75 South Main Street in Concord, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars. So there you have it. And we thank you very much for their support.
And we do want to remind you, too, when you do go into these places, if you can tell them that Food for Thought sent you, that you heard it on Food for Thought, would be really nice. I think sponsors love to hear stuff like that. So
absolutely. And we appreciate hearing from you as well. Thanks for those who called in today and contributed recipes.
Yes.
Thanks to Deb.
That was great. Deb from originally from Kansas, now from where?
Yes.
Took Linda's place today. But Linda will be back next week. And, stay tuned. Not stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow.
We will be back tomorrow along with Concord Fire Chief Dan Anderson.
Ooh, that's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
That'll be fun. All right, stay tuned. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye.